Join us WrestleMania weekend for the Internet Darlings live event featuring your favorite wrestling YouTubers. The link is in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife.
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live. Who needs Raw?
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And anywhere fine podcasts are available, including the iTunes, where if you hit that subscribe download button, then it helps us out. It gets more exposure to the show. We get jacked up in that sports and rec category.
Yes.
Fantastic. We're also available on what? Podbean, Stitcher,
SoundCloud.
SoundCloud.com/Steven Larson.
Maybe someday Spotify.
At some point, our goal is to be on Spotify. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. Right now, we have about 50 some odd people watching this live streaming. They're interacting with us in chat, letting us know if our audio is okay, talking about ribs,
yes.
How to create and fashion the best ribs for eating purposes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's great. So that's like $5 a month. You get one of these every single week. You get to watch us recap Raw and talk to us and get a bonus episode.
Yes.
Yeah. We're also available at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. This is not one of those, and neither is that, although that is a clothesline apparel.
Yes, which is produced and distributed by 1 Hour Tees, same parent company as Pro Wrestling Tees.
Exactly, but we have 5 quality designs at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. You guys can check that out right now. So we're on the road to WrestleMania. The exit sign is in sight.
Yeah.
Person at road to WrestleMania.
Passing the last rest stop.
Mm-hmm.
On to the exit. Last
exit
before the road to WrestleMania. What?
I have our patrons loaded
up
here.
Yeah.
In appreciation of Patreons kicking in money to our show, helping support the cause, I like to read their names every week. I'm going to do that right now before we get into Raw. Sorry for the cock tease, everybody. Donald Philman, Damian Martin, pre-cum nay champion JDP. Nay on pre-cum. Interesting. I don't really want to read this one. Vaginal Kisses. Put in money. You can, whatever name you want. I'll probably read it. I Am Crickish. Put in money. Puka Minute. Jake Riley. Beals 17. Josh Long. Mikolos Pike. Kamau Vaughn. Preston. Austin Marshall. Shane. Sydney. Alex Leonard. Craig Hattle. Jordan Gonzalez. Lupe Hernandez. Florian Jurgens. J.S. Wooten. Brandon Holtz. Tyrone Hamilton, Mark Appleby, Gazpacho Soup, Eric Hobson, Alejandro 13, Ross Clark, Walter Kennerly, Brad Hardcastle, Adam Corona, Toby Pradell, Juggernauts, the Going In Raw Grand Slam Champion, Paul G. Verdon, and Brian Siret. Thank you all for putting in money
Thank
for
you.
The Patreon. I really appreciate
very
it.
Much.
They open up their wallets and their whatever. Anyway, let's talk about Raw. What do you think about Raw in a nutshell, Larson?
Overall, I thought it was a fairly enjoyable show. I thought it would have been much more enjoyable if it were only 2 hours.
We got
that being said, though, I can't really think of a whole lot that could have been cut.
That's kind of like the... yeah, I know. I looked at the notes and I was like, oh, wow, that's it. It was just a lot of good stuff. Usually, Raw could be whittled down to 2 hours if they cut out the filler.
Yeah.
But no, this one actually felt more brisk than usual, a little bit more pep in their step.
I guess if there would be one criticism, it was kind of light on matches.
Yeah, but it was heavy on story. I'm trying to look at what the filler is. I'm looking at your
7
notes,
matches,
and I'm looking at where the filler could be. But the matches were quality.
Yeah,
they're good matches.
Yeah.
What do we have? Nia Jax versus Bayley, Austin Aries, Tony Nese. Who doesn't want to see that? Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman.
I mean, like the one match that probably maybe could have gotten
two of these matches
cut would be Charlotte versus Dana.
Yeah, two of these matches.
But you need to have that match happen at some point.
We're at Fastlane, and they were better here.
Oh, God, yes.
And these were the actual matches that we figured we should have gotten at Fastlane.
Especially the Sami Zayn, Samoa Joe match.
Yeah.
Vastly superior to their match at Fastlane. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's talk about...
Let's start from the jump. Mick Foley came to the ring, and he read He read off of index cards.
Saying that he was taking a leave of absence, and he said, eh.
He rips them up, doesn't rip them up, but he says, I get here and Triple H hands me these cards to read. I'm Mick Foley. I'm a legend. I don't read cards. And so he starts talking shit, and then his mic starts cutting out.
Yes.
And then Stephanie comes out, and obviously she was at Gorilla saying, cut his mic out. Okay, turn it back on. Okay, cut it out. Because it did the thing. It didn't cut out. It just like cut out and then
like
came back on.
It was like a loose connection. It was, or as like, opposed to someone like, at the soundboard.
When you have a flashlight, like one of the very few times during the year where you actually need to use a flashlight if you're not a security guard, and the battery's been in there so goddamn long that you have to keep on doing this.
Yes.
And like, God,
yes.
And it just keeps on cutting
out.
It's
a poor connection, yes.
Exactly. Stephanie was sitting there on the switch. Or she had a
cat. She had
a cat near the switch.
She was back there at the soundboard hitting mute, unmute. Mute, unmute.
Just mute. Hit mute and then hit your music. I don't unmute. Know why you're doing this. Is it just to fuck with them? Maybe that was
unmute.
It.
Anyways, yeah, then so she comes out and starts questioning Mick's business acumen.
Yes.
Saying you need to, you know, if you're a business person, you need to think with this and not think with this.
And then in typical McMahon fashion, she gives him the draw four wild card.
Yes.
And says, you're fashion police.
No, she said you're fired.
You're fired.
I said, I got two words for you. Fashion police. No, she said you're fired.
She did say I got two words for you.
She did. And Sami Zayn comes out to a pretty good pop.
Well, yeah, man, of course. People love that
Everybody
song.
Everybody loves Sami Zayn.
Yeah, let's go, loser.
And he comes out and says, hey, Steph, what you're doing is really unfair.
Yeah,
to
you're not
a legend.
Good. You're not good.
To my Sami Zayn's idol.
When he starts laying into Stephanie, the CM Punk chants fire up. I'm kind of okay with the CM Punk chants these days as long as it's directed, as long as it's specifically aimed
at a McMahon.
At throwing a McMahon off their game.
Yes. Stephanie is mostly unfazed by them, though.
She is unfazed.
Triple H, on the other hand.
Still, you can tell.
A little phased.
Like last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was.
It was last week, yeah.
Last week really threw him off.
Yeah, he got thrown off.
This week, not so much.
But then I think there was some CM Punk chants during the Bayley-Nia Jax match. Don't do that.
No, don't. That's not good.
Don't do that.
That's not good.
That was a decent match.
Mm-hmm. No, I know it was. It was good.
So anyway, Samoa Joe comes out, and Stephanie says, all right, we're having a match right now, Sami Zayn versus Samoa Joe.
And this match was by far
followed,
better than
I mean,
the
you could tell
match.
This match would be better than their Fastlane match,
yeah.
Because before the match even started, Sami Zayn, who hadn't even taken off his t-shirt yet, did a plancha over the top rope onto Joe as Joe was walking to the ring.
I know.
Great.
I know.
This match was fast-paced.
Mm-hmm.
High impact.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe did a suicide dive,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know if we've seen since he's been on the main roster.
Yeah, I don't know.
Great.
There's this
great match.
Great line from Corey Graves. Said, I wonder if Sammy is rethinking his new role as social justice warrior. That was funny. This is a really good match. Samoa Joe. Oh, there was a great. Everybody's doing the countout spots these days.
Yeah.
Everybody
was trying to win by countout. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, everybody's trying to win by countout these days. Samoa Joe is a big Bad Luck Fale fan, apparently.
Yes.
Because he was getting the guardrails involved, too.
Yes. The finish. Sammy has Joe in the corner set up for the Huluva kick.
Yeah.
Joe counters with his kind of rock bottom choke slam type mm-hmm. maneuver. And he follows that up with the Coquina Clutch,
mm-hmm.
is that what it's called?
I don't know.
Chokes him out.
Yeah, yeah.
Picks up the win. Great match.
So let's talk about this a little bit. Sami Zayn coming out, raising the ire of a McMahon.
Yes.
AJ Styles was fired, not by a McMahon, but by Daniel Bryan.
Oh, yeah, when Sami came out, the first thing I thought, oh, okay, we have a trade in the works.
We have a trade in the works. That's exactly what I thought, too. I love that trade. I think that'd be great, Sami Zayn for AJ Styles.
Well, I feel like SmackDown needs to be getting a little bit more.
I agree with that. AJ, Sami Zayn, and Roman Reigns for. I wonder. Or, so let's see the path there. I mean, AJ, it's kind of obvious what the path there is because he's already fired. With Sami, everything in at Mania, we're gonna get Sami versus Joe again in like a career match of some sort.
I don't know.
Loser leaves Raw match.
Maybe. But why would Joe agree to that stipulation when he just got to Raw?
Because he has all the confidence in the world.
Okay.
He wants to get rid of Sami Zayn. He wants to help be a team player and get rid of Sami Zayn. Maybe it won't even be a Joe stipulation. It'll just be Sami. If you lose this, you're done. You're out of Raw. You're fired.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Oh, if Steph said that. Steph were to say that. Say, mm-hmm. if you lose this, then you're fired.
Yeah, because it's fairly obvious. Like, I mean, that It's kind of been a decent long con with them. Like, going back months now, Stephanie has had it in for Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
And so that is actually a long con that kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. I like when they do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and I think I mean, we talked about this on Count on this past weekend. Sami Zayn on SmackDown would be fantastic.
Oh, yes.
And I could totally see him getting the world title at that point because he'd be fucking tops there.
Yeah. Oh. Imagine if Baron wins the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania. Sami comes in.
It'd be great.
Instant number one contender for the Intercontinental title.
Let's go. Kurt Angle books it.
Yes. After a commercial break, we come back and Mick Foley is walking backstage.
Mm-hmm.
Sami Zayn comes up to him.
Foley, we need you. We need you to stand up for us. And he says, "No, son, you need to stand up for you."
Yeah.
I'm not going to be that guy anymore.
Yeah. And Sami says something along the lines of you know, not very often do you get to meet your heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy I met mine.
Mm-hmm.
More or less. And that would kind of come into play later on during
kind
the highlight reel.
Kind of a theme throughout this episode.
And so Mick, making his way backstage to the exit,
mm-hmm.
Runs into Cesaro and Sheamus.
Yeah.
They thank Foley for pairing them together.
Mm-hmm.
He runs into Bayley, of course. There's a hug.
Mm-hmm.
And right before, or right as he's hugging Bayley,
mm-hmm.
like Bayley notices something, you know, over Mick's shoulder.
Yeah.
Looks, the camera pans over his Triple H.
Yeah. Just leathery face.
I know. He looks like he's having so much fun being back on TV.
You know, and the funny thing is, too, I think that he probably, I think he is, but if you look at those bags under his eyes, he looks exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, he just looks like the day-to-day running business stuff. Is I'm not gonna say I think that he's a fucking stud, and I think that, you know, this is a welcome relief for him to do this stuff. But man, he is aging.
Oh yeah,
like, he is leathery face, man.
Watching something or reading something where he was talking about, I don't remember where it was, having to wrestle at WrestleMania while still also doing his day job, so to say.
Yeah.
And how at WrestleMania he's always doing something,
mm-hmm.
you know, working things out with talent, this and that. And then having to add a match on top of that just mm-hmm. makes WrestleMania super strenuous for
mm-hmm.
him. So maybe the build-up to it is just like that as well. It
probably is. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
So anyways.
I mean, we're essentially there. You know what I mean?
I know. Triple H and Foley kind of meet eye to eye.
Yeah.
Triple H had like a kind of a, like a grin on his face and just says,
have
a nice day.
Have a nice day.
It's funny.
I love this because the look on Foley's face, I don't know if this was intentional or not, but it's like he couldn't help but have, I'm not going to say he was trying to not break a smile, but he was obviously very satisfied with the way things have played out.
Yeah.
And it looked like it was difficult for him to muster up a disgruntled look.
Yeah.
Because he looked, I mean, you know, he's got that big-ass beard to look through.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
He looked tickled by the prospect of this moment because he knew what Triple H was going to say.
Yeah.
And the history between these two guys is so thick. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because mm-hmm. neither of these guys are The Rock. Neither of these guys are Austin. Triple H and Foley were very much on the same level.
Oh, yeah.
Like, from day one in their careers in the WWF.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At the very, very birth of the Attitude Era, they were so intertwined along the way.
Yeah.
That, you know, didn't Triple H, I think, retired Mick Foley? Well, retired him.
Yeah, yeah,
I think the last match that he had before his retirement, and then they brought him back for, like, 2000, a couple other ones.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was that it was like a cage match or Hell in a Cell or some shit.
Hell in a Cell, I think. Yeah, I think
it was Hell in a Cell.
Even before that, the night that Foley first won the WWE title,
mm-hmm. DX
was out there to help him out.
Yeah, exactly. So like, it's so much fun to see these two guys and that idea of it's 2017 WrestleMania and we're kind of the two biggest attractions for the show. Still, Austin's gone, Rock is gone, the two big names, you know, Taker looks like he's struggling. But it's still these two guys goading on the crowds, the ultimate babyface, the ultimate heel in that role. And that look on Foley's face couldn't help but betray that history was just there in that moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was great. I loved it. And then, of course, he goes out the door with the big-ass fat exit sign on
it. Yeah.
So I really love. I thought it was a great little moment. I thought that was a really, really strong opening, you know, half hour or whatever.
Yeah, the first hour
of
Raw I thought was really good.
Yeah, yeah. Then we got a Seth Rollins injury update.
It's an interview with his physical therapist, Kevin Wilk.
Who, hey, he did a great job reading lines or whatever it was that he was doing.
And according to him,
it was Seth, like when I tried to get my dad to act for like a short film.
Yes. Yeah. According to Kevin Wilkes, Seth re-aggravated his injury last week during the beatdown of the hands of Triple H.
Sure he did, Kevin Wilkes.
And then was asked, you know, will Seth Rollins compete at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
And he more or less said, I don't know if there's any doctor that will clear him to compete at WrestleMania. But then he said something along the lines, Seth is really determined, so who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. Then we had
Charlotte versus Dana.
It's funny because if this wasn't WrestleMania season, this would have been on a pay-per-view. Because this would have been, I mean, Dana Brooke, since she's arrived, she has been Charlotte's protege.
Yes.
Or, you know, lackey, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
But I thought this was a pretty strong match.
Yeah.
The crowd started chanting, "We want Paige," which is probably inappropriate. But, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'd like to think that this is... I mean, obviously, they wouldn't have been chanting this had we not got the sex tape leak and everything. Yeah, I don't know. Probably don't chant that then.
No, well, I just feel like in general, if there's two wrestlers in the ring competing...
Yeah. Like, there's really no way I can justify
just
this
one. Give them your attention.
Yeah, I know. I know. Charlotte went over, but Dana Brooke looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Wasn't there like a couple of botches in this match?
Not that I noticed.
Some people on Twitter were talking shit. I kind of half paid attention to this one, and somebody said something about a botch.
Well, I didn't notice.
I forgot.
Charlotte won with the boot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, I hope that Emma comes back sooner than later, and I hope they pair up with Dana Brooke again.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
I thought
they were a good pair.
They were a good pair.
They really played off each other well.
And I think Dana Brooke can still learn a lot from Emma.
Yes.
And maybe, you know what, maybe out of the spotlight of the Charlotte scene, which is constantly main event women's division scene, maybe Dana Brooke will have a little bit less pressure on her so she can continue to become to grow comfortable in the ring.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Then we had Stephanie backstage talking shit to Bayley. Bayley was saying, "You use your powers to hurt people." I don't know. Bayley, there's such a fine line for me with Bayley between being. I like when Bayley understands that she's living in a shark's world and she's not a shark, but she still has to find a way to succeed.
Yeah.
As opposed to, "You hurt people and you're mean."
Yeah.
I'm not huge on that.
I'm not either.
You know, I don't think that's really what the direction they should be going with her. And too often, that's the direction she goes in.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So,
or that's the direction she's given to go in.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a given.
Then Stephanie says that Nia Jax, who got DQ'd last week in her match against Bayley, is getting another chance. And if Nia wins, she will be put into the Raw Women's title match at WrestleMania, making it a fatal four-way. And, oh, yeah, no DQ match.
Yeah. We'll talk about that when we get to the match.
Yes. Next, we had the highlight reel.
Featuring the most over-wrestler in the company now, Chris Jericho. Man, that response he got when he came out was fantastic. And this is how you really – this is how you build a babyface. And, dude, how – it's only been – okay, so when did Chris Owens and – I'm sorry, Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens first hook up. Was it?
Has
it been a year?
I don't know if it's been that long.
Okay.
But they first started doing stuff together, I believe, well before Owens won the Universal title.
It's so funny that this has been like the perfectly executed heel to babyface. Like getting, you know how we always say heels have the best chance of being over as baby faces because as a heel, you can really show off your personality. You can do the bad stuff. You can do the fun stuff.
Yeah.
And then you transition to a baby face.
You get over with the fans as a heel because you're so entertaining. Mm-hmm. And then you make the face turn and then you get huge pops.
And it's crazy.
It's a pretty
like,
basic formula.
This is the blueprint is just there. It's available for a large number of talented wrestlers.
Yes.
And the fact that they haven't pulled that trigger on Roman Reigns. And how long ago did the Shield break up? Three years ago.
It's baffling.
And they haven't taken 8 months to just see if this could work. We want to get this guy over. Let's just see if this can work. Let's heal him up for 6 months. It's 6 months. It's not going to kill you. And let's see if we can get that over.
I know. It's so confusing.
I know, because look at Jericho now. He's massive. And so on the highlight reel, he was going to show the world the real Kevin Owens. And it was kind of what we figured it would be.
It kind of harkened back to what Sami Zayn told Foley about, meaning your heroes.
Yeah, exactly. And so the real Kevin Owens is a Jericho mark. And this was so expertly done. So he shows a picture first of a teenage Kevin Owens wearing the Y2J shirt, doing the pose.
Yep. As he said in his parents' basement.
Yeah, with a picture of Jericho on one side behind him and a picture of an unnamed busty woman next to that, which was fucking great. He said he's not just any Kevin Owens. He's a fan of Jericho. Marking out,
he
said, man.
He was marking out, man. That was pretty good.
Then he showed off a Twitter DM exchange.
From 2014, I guess shortly after Kevin Owens signed with WWE.
Mm-hmm,
Kevin Owens, prior
to him showing up to work, basically.
Yeah, Kevin Owens went to Y2J looking for some advice. And as Jericho put it, it was like he did it cold.
Mm-hmm.
Had no idea who Kevin Owens was, didn't know him.
Yeah.
And the end of it was Owens saying to Jericho, "Hey, I know what Raw is going to be in Montreal soon. If you need anything, let me know." Mm-hmm. And Jericho's like, "Need anything from you?" Essentially, I'm Y2J.
Oh, man. And he said, "I did need something from you. I needed the days that I spent recovering after you turned on me back."
There you go. You had something on your lip.
Oh, God.
Yes.
No. He said, "I needed the hours I spent pulling glass out of my face back."
Yes.
But then he says, "Mom." Anyways, he said, "This is what I need from you." And he puts up the picture from Fastlane the video from Fastlane when his music hit right before he used to face Goldberg. Kevin Owens used to face Goldberg.
He freeze frames it.
Mm-hmm. On the look on his face, on Kevin Owens' face. And he says, "I want this look. This is what I want from you at WrestleMania." And he says, "Because you know what happens if you're facing off with Jericho at WrestleMania?" And he goes to put him on the list. And then Kevin Owens...
even before that, he said, Kevin Owens said that we weren't friends, and that's true. And Jericho said, "I'm not Kevin Owens' friend. I'm his hero."
I'm his hero, yeah, exactly.
And then, Jericho goes to put Owens on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Smojo's music hits.
Oh, that's right, Smojo, yeah.
He comes out. While Jericho is staring down Smojo, from behind comes Owens, beats him up, gives him a powerbomb, gets the list of Jericho and rips it to shreds.
And then has it for lunch.
Yeah, he eats a piece. Well, he spits it out.
He eats a chunk of it and then goes...
And then he does the Jericho pose.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Over Jericho.
This has been...
Crowd was booing him.
I know.
So much heat.
It was great.
It was good.
It was great. Kevin Owens knows how to get heat. It's great. Next. This is gonna be. I was just gonna say. I mean, we all know this. This is gonna be a good match.
Yeah, it's gonna be a stellar
match.
This
is probably the best built match leading into Mania.
Oh yeah.
I don't think was there any decently built matches last year. Last year was such a clusterfuck because of all the injuries and shit. Roman Reigns versus Triple H was a shit show.
In certain aspects, the Lesnar-Ambrose buildup was decent. I was excited about it, but that match was such a dud.
No, you could kind of tell. Like I remember watching.
Ambrose trying so hard to make.
That's what I remember, and it's funny that he totally
And I thought Lesnar was doing this kind of cold, detached thing.
No, like he was literally.
No, I know, literally. I know that's how he did not give a shit. But I thought that was his angle on that story.
I think I remember deep down just seeing that Lesnar did. I think that was when I was on my big anti-Lesnar kick. I was like, "This is fucking bullshit. Like, this is stupid." Or I was getting there anyway. Let's see here. Then we had TJ Perkins versus Brian Kendrick.
It's a very quick match.
Yes, it was. Brian Kendrick going easily with a sliced bread number two.
He grabbed the mic, did a promo saying that he happened to find Akira Tozawa's passport on the locker room floor.
Stole his passport.
Yep.
He didn't turn into Lost and Found. Let me ask him. I was leaving the gym the other day, and there is a set of Apple iPhone or headphones.
Earbuds. Yes.
Well, these days, aren't earbuds the wireless ones or those iBuds? What are those called?
I don't know.
I don't
have an iPhone.
Anyways, they're the wire ones.
Okay.
Just laying there in the parking lot. What would you do with that?
In the parking lot?
Yeah. I left it as it was. Because we can get you take it to Lost and Found. Who's going to think, "Oh, man, I lost my headphones. I better go to Lost and Found."
What else is... I mean, I assume the gym... Is the gym you're at a standalone structure or is it in, like, a strip mall?
Standalone structure.
Okay, I might have taken them inside.
Really?
Because if it's a strip mall, then it's not necessarily, you know, it's not necessarily someone that went to the gym.
Yeah, you're right.
Dropped them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't do anything. I was like, nobody's going to look for these lost and found, because that's weird. Because who just puts in earphones? Who gives up earphones? That's weird. So I'm just going to leave them here. Maybe the person will.
Did you be sure not to drive over them as you left?
Oh, yeah. My car was way out there. Okay. This was like, yeah. No, of course. No, I went, where are they? Fuck your headphones. Let's see here. So, yeah, it's funny because people were pointing out to me, man, all this crime happening on the WWE programming, arson,
assault,
and now Brian Kendrick is stealing Akira Tozawa's passport. I'm like, that kind of pales in comparison to arson and assault, especially the arson thing. Assault, it's wrestling. It happens everywhere.
Yeah.
The backstage brawl is a time-honored tradition.
And that's pretty
burning
much,
down
that's
a assault. Man's house is not a time-honored tradition.
So I think if, you know, if you're in a wrestling match, that's sanctioned.
Yeah.
But if you're backstage, you just beat somebody up, that should be considered assault, yeah.
Yeah, but that happens all the time. Exactly. I would think that's just part of the gig.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we had a Roman Reigns interview. Yeah, I like he always just lingers by himself. He's always just milling about when the interviewer comes up to him.
He's a bit of a loner these days.
And there, I still feel like they're so confused. I feel like, man, it's just they're really just fumbling.
They
the
want him
ball.
To be top face, but they put him in a situation where he's going to get nothing but heel heat.
Yeah, I know.
Nothing.
It's like it's borderline X-Pac heat.
Yeah.
Because he says shit that doesn't even, it's like, people ask. He doesn't even have the respect angle for the Undertaker thing going.
No, he's completely disrespectful of the Undertaker. Completely. It's like my yard now.
People ask me how I feel about the Undertaker. The only time I ever think about the Undertaker
is when he's on his back looking up at the lights or something like that.
Man. And, like, he's even not. And there's even an element now of, God, Undertaker's and such. But, like, that end segment, man, he looked. He looked like he was in pain. He looks like he can barely fucking move.
I know.
So, yeah, Reigns said some stuff that was, like, just disrespectful towards Undertaker. It just didn't do anything to endear anybody to him. I don't get it.
Now, if he said, you know, this, if he framed it, or if creative framed it as if, all right, I, Roman Reigns, I want this to be my yard. But for this to be my yard, with all due respect, as Roman has said several times in the past, I need to get by the Undertaker.
Right.
Because he's, you know, this has been his yard for 25 years.
Yeah.
If they made it about respect,
yeah,
maybe that's one thing.
Yeah, I know.
But it's not.
He's just like shitting on him. There's no real focus there.
Other than who like runs the yard.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Whose yard is it?
And I'm not
that's
even
literally the storyline for this.
I know. Didn't they even have like a little thumbnail video thing? It said whose yard is
it? Yes, last week.
Damn it, I really should use that for the thumb. Yeah, I don't know, dude. It's so dumb. It's here's my question too. Is that so we've heard that Roman Reigns' merchandise is like a top five seller.
Mm-hmm.
What sells exactly?
I have no idea.
His shirts, I mean, I don't see a lot of his shirts out there in the crowd. His shirts are not particularly well designed.
No.
I don't know what sells.
I'll bring this up as an example. We went to NXT Brooklyn last year. What percentage of the audience was wearing Shinsuke shirts? 30%?
What's bigger than 100? Yeah, like 130. It was a lot. It was at least 30.
Yeah.
It was at least 30. A lot of red out there.
So you can tell just by the eyeball test, looking at that
arena. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Shinsuke is selling more merch at NXT than anybody.
Yeah.
That was obvious.
Yeah.
But you look, and granted, you're not in the audience, but on television, you kind of get a general idea of who's wearing whose shirt.
You can see how much Cena gear there is.
Yeah.
You can see that all over the place.
Yes. I've seen people out in public wear Cena shirts.
Yeah.
I have not seen anybody in public wear anything Roman Reigns.
There is no iconic Roman Reigns shirt. This kind of thing. Whenever Cena comes out with a new shirt, it immediately is John Cena's shirt. Like, you can tell. You can just see. It's like, okay, it's one of the primary colors, or it's a bright color. It has sort of that comic booky John Cena figure on there with a new pose, or they're doing the Paps, you know, the Paps Blue Ribbon, the PBR shit, or whatever, the Patriots type. There's different variations. They're all very distinct. Roman Reigns just has like that. It says like the Empire. What, I don't know what it said, but they're all very like they kind of run into each other. There's nothing iconic about any of his merchandise, and I'm like, what are people buying exactly?
His logo isn't very good either.
I'm not even sure what his logo is.
It's two R's.
Oh, that thing.
Yeah.
I don't see that as an iconic design shirt. It's just not. Sort of hidden in this other. And I'm not saying that they're poorly designed. They're just not nearly as iconic as so much of the other merchandise out there. You know, Shinsuke's got a red shirt that says strong style and a very unique thing that looks like him. Or he's got the black shirt with the red. Like everybody else has like an iconic design. Everything about him is so like it's. Do you remember in the 90s, the Rob Liefeld type comic book?
Yeah.
How he made a comic and then everything after that, like, you know, in his studio, everything sort of mimicked his a little bit.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns' design looks like a fifth generation clone of a Rob Liefeld
comic.
I can
see that.
It all just looks so generic and weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing iconic. I don't know. My point is, I don't know who's buying this shit. And
Yeah.
I mean, if it's kids, it's fine. If kids like Roman Reigns, it's fine. I don't know what they're buying, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't know, man. I'm seriously not trying to shit on Roman Reigns. I feel like
we've made it, we've always said, okay, we don't necessarily blame him individually for kind of everything that's going on around him. It's not entirely his fault. He could sell better. There's details that he has yet to learn because he's relatively inexperienced compared to a lot of the people on the roster.
And
but he's not to blame for creative mishandling.
And we've said this before, the lack of selling might actually be a creative decision.
Exactly.
And so he could be told, hey, you're selling too much. Stop selling so much. I think our main thing with Roman Reigns, and I don't like to shit on this stuff necessarily, but there are so many different paths to success, and I don't feel like they know which one to take. Or whether to take any of them. I just think that they're... I don't know. I don't know what the deal is.
It doesn't
it's
seem
bizarre.
Like at any point that they say, okay, this is the vision we have for the Roman Reigns character.
Right.
And let's follow through on it till the end.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems like they've changed directions so many times.
Yeah. It's so bizarre.
But all with the idea that he's going to be the top guy. But without a plan in place for that to happen, you just can't keep shoving him on TV all the time, having closed the show ad nauseum.
Yeah.
And expect people to cheer for him.
Yeah.
Especially when he's in positions constantly where people pretty obviously get the idea that he's being shoved down our throats.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
weird. As the top guy, because he's never, sorry, not never. The Shield were built up. Granted, they were given a prime spot,
mm-hmm.
but their popularity was organic.
Mm-hmm.
People liked their work. Thus far, Roman hasn't either being given an opportunity to get popular organically.
Yeah.
Or it just hasn't happened.
Yeah.
And so whatever popularity he has is just because he's constantly in a prime spot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's not, he hasn't developed that organic fan base that'll stand by him.
Yeah.
This hasn't happened.
It's so weird. Then we had a Goldberg Lesnar video package.
Yeah, there's two of them. This one focused on Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
Later in the show, we had one that focused on Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar. Then we had Stephanie talking to Cesaro and Sheamus. She said,
she was just going around backstage that was more or less punishing anybody that was friendly with Mick Foley.
Punishing, yeah, exactly.
So she said, you have a match tonight mm-hmm. where it'll be the two of you against Enzo and Cass and the club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A 2-on-4 match.
Yeah. Then we had the Nia Jax Bayley match.
This was fun.
Yeah, no, it was a decent match. It was good. I'm honestly not huge on Nia Jax being in the Mania match. I'm really not. I don't think she's a wrestler on the level of those other three. And I just don't. I think that it could be a really fantastic match without her. And on top of that, I kind of wish that I'd like. I understand the idea of like booking Bayley weak. Ish leading into Mania so that the odds are stacked against
yes.
her. I kind of feel like Nia doesn't belong in the match, and it kind of would have been cool for Bayley to pick up an actual win against her.
I know.
And show that she is a legit champion. There's a very good chance she's not going to win at Mania.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's sort of my feeling on this. What do you think her odds of winning at Mania? Do you think are pretty good for Bayley?
Yeah, I think they're pretty decent. I think she's the favorite.
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah,
I mean, maybe that'll turn things around.
See, I mean, I think they can still book a good match with Nia in it,
mm-hmm.
but without her, you can imagine this really fast pace.
Yeah, I know.
You know, in spots like technical wrestling match potentially,
We saw all the great stuff that we saw between Bayley and Sasha Banks and NXT.
Yes.
All the great stuff we've seen between Sasha and Charlotte here on Raw.
And kind of merge all that together.
Yeah, exactly.
Into one kind of really stellar match. And Nia Jax has really improved.
Yeah.
I think she's better than she was when she was NXT. She's better mm-hmm. than she was when she got brought up. Her shit-talking ability during a match is fantastic.
Yeah.
Her character work during a match is really good.
Yeah.
So maybe storyline-wise, she can bring an added element to the match.
I hope so. I'm not a huge fan of that decision. I know you have to a degree protect Nia Jax because she's, I think that she has a bright future and everything, mm-hmm. but I don't know. I just feel for right now.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Like, I think that they would have done so much of a service to the match if you would have established Bayley as like, okay, we're sort of, cutting the fat from the match.
And what you could also do is and granted, maybe if they want to keep Nia as a heel, they didn't want to do this, but have her on the outside looking in for Mania, mm-hmm. get pissed off about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
And then
yeah.
going on a rampage afterwards saying, I belong that match, I want a title shot.
Yeah, exactly.
And make that, assuming it's Bayley that wins, mm-hmm. make Nia her first major feud mm-hmm. coming out of Mania.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see here. Then we had, was this the big Triple H interview?
Yeah,
in the ring?
I missed part of this because I had to walk the dog.
Yeah. No, I watched it. I watched a bunch of it last night, and then I rewatched it again today. And like you said earlier, it does just feel like he's having a good time in the ring.
Yeah.
He
didn't say too much new during this, right?
No, he didn't.
When he was going to leave the ring, he goes, oh, I got an idea.
Yeah.
After he gave Michael Cole 2 tickets to give to Seth Rollins and nosebleed to WrestleMania, he goes, what if there was a way we can have a match where essentially after I beat up Seth, he wouldn't sue us?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to have a big paperwork signing next week. Hold harmless form. Never heard of it. Maybe it exists.
This is the go home show.
So essentially, they're what's the term? indemnifying themselves?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you can't be sued because you're not cleared.
Yes. So Triple H wants a non-sanctioned wrestling bout. So, I have an idea. This is what they should do.
All right, let's hear it.
They should hold this bout on a barge in international waters, completely unsanctioned.
That'd be great.
Have it like, was it 45 miles off the U.S. coast?
Yeah, I like that. That's good.
And just have it broadcast in the stadium.
Yeah.
That's what they should do.
That'd be a good idea.
Like in the old days of boxing when it was illegal.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They'd have it in a barge.
Mm-hmm.
Out in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
At least I remember in Gangs of New York, there's that scene where there's a boxing match and they had it on a barge out in the ocean.
No, I don't remember that.
Really? Was that some other movie? I thought it was Gangs of New York.
What? It might be. It's a really long movie. And I think I've seen it all, but I don't remember that part. It could very well be. I just like that wrestling scene from The Nick when that dude, he loads him up on some sort of amphetamines, I think. And he sends him out there, and he just collapses. He wins, and then he collapses and dies. Oh, man. You're looking it up right now.
I'm trying to. Maybe I'm imagining that in another movie. There's a movie I know that has a boxing scene, and it's like kind of not very good CGI matting.
Right.
And I thought it was Gangs of New York, but
I
could be wrong.
I just like that they actually use the word hold harmless.
I know.
Because, this is the goal.
Nothing is more riveting than the phrase, hold harmless.
This is the... Oh, exactly. Like, I had to look at it and say, what am I looking at? What, did they fuck up typing contract signing or something? Like, this is the go-home show for WrestleMania, and you're signing... Okay, Seth, so in order to do this, what's your... who's your insurance provider? Okay, cool. What, do you have your insurance number? That's... I get that for you later. Who's your physician? Okay, cool.
So you gotta make sure you get your lawyer to look over this.
Yeah. Now what's your social security? Do you have your card? I need to make a copy of your driver's license and your social security card. Okay, and then just initial here, sign here. And then it's just like, we gotta get what's the dude name that comes out there and witnesses it? The notary public.
Yeah.
We gotta get a notary public out here. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's, I'm not excited for that. But it is what it is. And I'm actually kind of excited. I'm actually kind of excited for the Triple H Seth Rollins match, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I've actually kind of liked Seth Rollins now that he's gone. Now that he's been gone for a little bit, I'm fine with it.
This is really bothering me.
Okay.
I was pretty sure it's Gangs of New York.
Okay. Can we just look this up after the podcast? Can we just do this after the podcast?
Yeah, I know. That's
I really don't want to have to cut anything out.
No, I know.
Don't
keep on going.
Anything.
I'm going to look at this one.
I don't want to keep on going because I don't want to talk to myself.
I'm completely involved in this conversation. Continue.
All right. Then we had you're not because you're watching a video and this is just it's just a trailer for the Fate of the Furious.
I know, but it's running before this clip. I want to see if this is it.
They're really loading up. How much did that movie cost, Fate of the Furious?
A lot.
Probably like, what, $200 million? I should have just fucking said yes. I should have said, oh, yeah, that was a great scene on the barge where they were boxing. It was fantastic. This scene you're showing me, I don't remember this, so it probably is the scene that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Anyways, after that, we had Cesaro and Sheamus taking on The Club and Enzo and Cass. This was kind of obvious it was going to happen. The Club ended up taking out Enzo and Cass.
Yeah, that was stupid.
To just start it off.
How dumb was that?
It's not a real fucking match. You've got a heat, like, it's... This is like super top-notch fucking book this match because 2K17 couldn't have a real triple threat match.
Yeah.
Tag match. We had Cesaro and Sheamus faces, Enzo and Cass faces, and they're teaming up with heels. Of course, Cesaro and Sheamus are going to win this because the other two can't get along.
I know, but still, like, why the hell, as competitors, if you're the Club, why would the first thing you do is kick your partner's out of the ring?
Because, you know, it's not going to matter. They that's been their MO for the past, like, month in
but
attacking.
It makes them look like they don't know what they're doing. Like last week when they had they caused the DQ in the match. It's like, well, there's no winner, so we don't have to defend our titles at WrestleMania.
Well,
no,
yeah.
They're going to have a match at WrestleMania.
I agree with you. That definitely.
But this kind of made me feel like, okay, again, they're booking the club.
And on top of that,
they don't know what they're doing.
One thing we never even talked about last week was, wouldn't you want your WrestleMania payout?
Yeah.
Why would you not want a
if
WrestleMania match?
What's their catchphrase? Being mean and making green?
Yeah.
You have to make the green.
On the other hand, he always talks about his guaranteed downside. So maybe they're just totally fine with the guaranteed downside.
They're just going to cruise.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, the Club takes out Enzo and Cass. Sheamus wins with a bro kick. And
yeah, it was very short.
They're supposed to be happy about
ridiculous.
That.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was kind of stupid.
I don't like any of it.
Then we had the New Day backstage, and they did very, very briefly with one line, with one throwaway joke.
Kofi?
He said,
you have something to tell? You want to tell us?
It was a Big E.
Okay.
Said, is there something you want to tell us? Of course, talking about his dalliances with Paige and Brad Maddox. And he said, yeah, WrestleMania, you know. So they had like a... They were talking about what to expect from Raw, what to expect,
what
they're
looking
forward to,
yeah.
On SmackDown, et cetera, et cetera. So they kept them out of the ring.
Next, we had Austin Aries versus Tony Nese.
Yes,
another good match. Nese put Austin Aries in the torture rack.
Let me ask you something.
What?
Why was Corey Graves referring to it as a standing torture rack?
Maybe there's another, like a kneeling torture rack. I don't know.
The torture rack is simply the torture rack.
That
how can
know.
You ex- how
Hold
can
on.
You execute
Hold
it
on.
In
we,
any other position?
Are we professional wrestlers?
No.
Is Corey Graves?
Not anymore.
But he used to be.
A standing torture rack as opposed to a what?
Maybe there's a torture rack that has been done where it's either some sort of squatting, kneeling, or lunging pose.
In that
I
case,
don't know.
In that case, wouldn't you call that a squatting torture rack?
I don't know.
It's standing torture rack. It's just
as
a torture
as I'm
rack.
I was happy to see a torture rack on TV again. See, I took a positive out of the situation. You found the negative.
I was just confused, but they did give a name. Corey Graves did give a name to Austin Aries.
Yeah, they might want to think that over again.
It was horrible. A discus five arm.
And everybody gave Corey Graves shit for that name.
It's a terrible name.
It's awful because it's better than a forearm.
Just call it a rolling forearm. Or elbow, rather.
Elbow.
Yeah.
Discus five arm's not good.
And on top of that.
Call it the greatest forearm that ever lived.
Well, hold on a second, though.
A double forearm.
An elbow and a forearm are not the same thing.
No.
So is it an elbow or is it a forearm?
I mean, technically it's a forearm. That's what actually hits
okay.
the competitor.
Okay. Then you shouldn't have called it an elbow in the first place. You should have called it a forearm. A discus forearm is fine.
How about this? Call it a discus forearm but have two A's in it.
Well, nobody sees it written out. Nobody
but then
sees
it
that way.
It fits into his A double nickname, though.
If this was all closed captioning,
yes.
Then yes, I would agree with
but
you.
But then you can put that on a t-shirt.
Nobody would buy that t-shirt.
If it was well designed, I might.
More people would buy that than they're buying Roman Reigns. I don't know what they're buying with Roman Reigns.
I don't know either.
What are they buying?
Anyways, Aries wins with a discus five arm. Horrible name.
When we go to Mania, I'm going to get on my iPhone and interview people that are wearing Roman Reigns.
A double elbow.
I'm going to interview people wearing Roman Reigns gear.
The greatest elbow that ever lived.
No, that's a great name. I'm going to be like, what were your choices? This shirt that you're wearing now, and what else? You're a Roman Reigns merchandise buyer. What made you do that?
Yeah. I want to know how many people bought it off WWE Shop versus
how many people buy it based off of sheer minutes that he's on TV. Well, he takes up a lion's share of what's on TV.
Here's the thing, though. Like, when we buy, the few times that we buy stuff off WWE Shop, it's a very considered decision.
Oh, yeah, man.
It's not impulsive, generally.
No.
But if you're at a live show and you go to the merch table and you're determined to spend your $35 you have in hand.
$35.
And, you know, we know going to the shows we've been to, the merch selection at live events isn't that great.
Yeah.
It's limited.
That's true.
So you go up there, maybe you go up to the merch stand and say, for example, I really want an Austin Aries shirt.
Yeah.
I love Austin Aries.
Yeah.
But they don't have any. Who else do I like? I like AJ. Oh, they don't have the shirt I like that I've seen online. I'm going to wait and buy it then. But you really want to buy a shirt to have a memento from the show you just went to. And so you look over the board they have at the merch table and it's like, oh, okay, Roman Reigns is okay. That shirt's okay. I'll buy that one.
Maybe I'll buy a Roman Reigns shirt this time around, or Mania.
That'd be an interesting experiment to do. You buy a Roman Reigns shirt and see what kind of reaction you get from the crowd.
Yeah.
We should do that.
I'm going to cheer the shit out of Roman Reigns.
Good.
I'm going to be a Roman Reigns mark.
Good.
I should buy one of them replica vests.
Good. Do all that. His gauntlet glove things. Buy those too. Do all that.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to do that.
Next, we had a package hyping the return of Emma.
Oh, we did? Really?
Yeah, it was really brief. It's the same one they ran last week, I think.
Oh, okay.
After that, the second package, video package for Goldberg Lesnar.
This one focusing on Brock Lesnar. Then we had a Braun Strowman interview. Boy. I don't usually like saying that people are getting buried, but kind of got buried this week.
A little bit
buried. Yeah, did he say anything of consequence here?
He made reference to Roman's interview and said that Reigns.
He said, wow, he's boring.
He said Undertaker's going to need a shovel to scrape Roman Reigns off the mat after I'm done with him.
Oh, I like that. See, that's a good line.
It is.
That's a good line. Why aren't they just trying to shove Braun Strowman down our throats?
I'd be fine with that.
I'd be totally fine with that.
Braun's great.
Braun is great. Did you see that Roman Reigns interview? He's boring. That's what he should have said. Man, how boring is he? I was so focused on the Brooklyn Nets logo behind him. Boy, that's a nice design logo.
So next, took us to our main event, Reigns versus Strowman.
Yeah, this is the match we should have got at Fastlane.
I know.
I don't know why they did this. Why did they do it this
way? I don't know.
Do they have like everything booked out? Like they say we're going to do this at Fastlane, but then in the second to last show leading up to Mania, we're going to do this again in the main event.
Let me ask you this: what's more effective? I don't know. One of the reasons they had Reigns beat Strowman, I'm sure, is to make him
look
the concept of him beating Undertaker more believable.
Yeah,
because they're both tall and bulky and athletic. In terms of making the storyline interesting. What's the superior scenario in your mind? That or Reigns struggling with Strowman? Have him lose at Fastlane.
Lose clean at Fastlane?
Yeah. And then he could win this match. I mean, it's not going to happen. It would never happen. Because if this is Reigns' yard, he's not going to lose clean.
No, I'm trying to think of the scenario and play it out in my head.
So he loses after a hard-fought match. I mean, maybe like... something brutal happens.
Yeah.
You know, like where Strowman power slams through the table. Mm-hmm. Have him do that to all the announce tables around ringside.
Yeah.
Put him back in the ring. Give him three more power slams. Just decimate him. Mm-hmm. Go for the pin.
Yeah.
And then week after week, Reigns, you know, has... because we always said that we never see Reigns struggle, essentially. Mm-hmm. Give him the storyline where he struggles briefly leading up to his match with Undertaker.
Yeah, I know. No, I like that. I like that, I guess. But, I mean, it's the kind of thing that it's hard to think too much about because it's not going to happen.
I know.
Because I like it. I like a mini feud with Strowman, and then it, like, takes everything out of him just to beat Strowman last night, and then The Undertaker shows up. That's just not going to happen.
No, I know.
This is not how they're booking him. But, yeah, I like that better.
So this match happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's whatever.
Yeah.
Reigns gains the upper hand.
Every bit of offense he had was booed.
I know.
Yeah.
He's waiting for Strowman to get up so he can spear him.
Mm-hmm.
Undertaker's music hits.
Lights go down. Lights come up. Undertaker's standing there.
They have a stare down. Mm-hmm. Undertaker's aware that Strowman is over his shoulder.
I got eyes in the back of my head.
He turns around quickly, gives an awesome chokeslam to Braun. I said,
we were picking our basketball team, mm-hmm. that Braun had a great vertical leap.
Yeah.
I was proven correct last night.
Yeah, he did all the work on that one. That was a
great choke slam, yes. And then it was kind of a cool moment where Undertaker, after he chokeslammed Braun, he realizes, oh, I turned my back on Roman Reigns.
Okay, here's
something bad is going to happen.
This is the funny bit. You're right, and I loved it. But it also could be misconstrued.
As, ow, that hurt me.
Yes.
I know, I thought that too.
And several people on Twitter, at Real Going In Raw, where I kind of been live tweeting lately, but kind of not, mentioned that as well. They said, man, that looked like a really hurt Undertaker. Because the thing is, you... During that entire sequence, you never really see Undertaker move at all. And then when he took that spear from Roman Reigns, it looked like it hurt him.
Yeah.
Like, it looked like it hurt him. So, like, seeing his face in pain, and then he sort of hobbles back around, realizing that Roman Reigns is behind him. Here's my problem with it, is that wrestlers don't usually do that. You don't usually get a lot of, oh, fuck, something's going to happen. And when you do, it's always effective, and I always like when they do that.
Yeah.
You just don't get a lot of it because it kind of betrays a vulnerability that, yeah. I'm about to be fucked. And when you're looking at The Undertaker, you don't want to think, oh, you don't want to see him think, oh, I'm about to be fucked because it's The Undertaker.
I don't think
I liked it as a moment.
Yeah, yeah. I don't necessarily think it was Undertaker saying, oh, I'm about to be fucked. It's like, oh, I took my eyes off.
No, I think
what
it was,
really mattered.
Yeah, which is kind of the same thing, though.
But I can understand why Undertaker would want to go to Braun and chokeslam, establishing his dominance.
Yeah, no.
I get that. And taking, you know, another foe out of the equation, at least immediately. I get that.
Yeah.
But then that by doing so, realizing, that might have been a mistake.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I don't know. I liked it.
Yeah. No, I liked it. I liked it, too, if in the back of my head I wasn't thinking, did that just hurt him?
Oh, I know. That occurred to me as well.
That was like in the back of my mind.
When we first started, you know.
And it's hard to separate
reacting. I know. When we first started reacting to the choke slam, I was like, oh, did he hurt himself?
Yeah,
but then
yeah.
he did this.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, no,
yeah.
He's reacting to, he just realized he made a mistake, potentially. Yeah, yeah. So Reigns spears the Undertaker,
mm-hmm.
goes out of the ring. He's looking back towards the ring as he's on top of the ramp, and the Undertaker sits up.
Mm-hmm.
And the Undertaker gets up. Does his thing like that.
So then we closed out with Undertaker's music.
Yes.
Yeah, so that was a welcome.
But Reigns was still on top of the ramp.
Enjoy it while you can.
Reigns was still part of the equation.
I'm kind of looking for... It's funny because I think I say this every year. I'm kind of looking forward to just what happens after Mania with Roman Reigns. I am kind of curious to see what they're going to do with that.
I fear not much is going to change.
You're
I mean, like,
probably
for
right.
example, going into this Wyatt Orton match, we were like, okay, this has the ingredients to be something cool if they do something interesting with it, and do especially if they do something interesting with it afterwards. But the way they're laying things out, maybe this is just a setup to swerve us. Could be. It just looks like we're going to have a face Orton champ and a heel Wyatt who jobbed out again at WrestleMania, maybe with the Wyatt family again. I don't know. But it seems like, okay, well, let's return to kind of the status quo. It's not interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I know. yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
You know, and granted, The Undertaker isn't the foe he used to be.
Yeah.
But as we've said before, when people wrestle Bray Wyatt, they should be changed by it.
Yeah.
Something should happen within you after you face The Undertaker, too.
Yeah, that is not happening.
You would think. I know it hasn't happened recently.
Yeah.
But you'd think that would be the case. It'd be interesting if they were to make that the case, but they probably won't.
Certainly be nice.
We have a lot of questions to get through today.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to answer them all.
Yeah, we got 145 questions. We're not going to answer them all. But let's answer some questions.
Yes.
I'm loading up all the
questions.
Yeah,
no, I have one right now. So Terrence Thompson. A fucking cat. I think he's referencing Fun Wrestling. You can give a wrestling contract to a cat, but Eddie Bennett couldn't even sniff a spot in Ulysses Memorial Battle Royal. You must fix this immediately. Terrence Thompson, I believe, is the advocate for Eddie Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, now the question. Should there be trades at WrestleMania? They would add a more unsettling reality-based feel to the show with superstars on edge and being swapped throughout the night.
I mean, when you frame it like that,
that'd be great.
It'd be fantastic.
Pure chaos.
I like people on
it.
It
would be the ultimate thrill ride then for people that work for the company.
You know what? I'm going to legitimately miss that stupid thrill ride commercial because of that sequence where they're going down. And for some reason, Undertaker always stands out to me because he's so slow. And he's
does that. I know.
He does the Yano.
I know, pretty much.
Let's see here. Alejandro13. He says, I remember listening to one of your podcasts and one of you saying you didn't like the Connor the Crusher Award. Why is that? New Patreon, by the way. I love the show. Thank you, Alejandro.
It wasn't that. It was the Warrior Award.
That's right. Yeah, Warrior. I don't want to pay disrespect to the dead, but he said a lot of fucked up things in his day, you know? And to manufacture the sort of Warrior Award based on a dude who, I mean, just because he made nice with the WWE at the end, I wasn't into it.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't into that.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Butch Bacon's grease catcher, Jerome Murray. Who do you guys think the new Raw GM could and should be? It's going to be Kurt Angle.
It's going to be Kurt Angle,
it's
right?
It's going to be Kurt Angle.
It's going to be Kurt Angle. That's a fucking mark out moment right there.
I know. Raw after Mania.
Yeah. Hamza Hilal. So what actually happens? Sorry. So like what actually happens when you're put on the list? Are you given the call? I like he writes the way I think he talks. He writes with a bunch of likes in it. Are you like given the cold shoulder by everyone backstage or something?
No, I think it's just Jericho that gives you the cold shoulder.
Yeah, I would think that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Rick Steiner's dog. If you could pick anyone to be the...
No, it's not Rick Steiner. This isn't Rick Steiner's dog.
Sorry,
This is Scott Steiner.
I just noticed he asked the same question.
This is Scott Steiner.
Fat bastard champ Alex Foster. What character should be added to Southpaw Regional Wrestling? He has Eric Rowan.
That's good.
A robot learning to love. And Sheamus as a gym teacher who really wants to be a ballerina.
I like this too. Nathan Ragland said Nia Jax as a pie baking champion. Those are all really good.
Those are good.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure I could do better than any of that. Although I would like a Magnum TA type character.
Mm.
Remember, you know that picture of Magnum TA, and I think it's Dusty wearing those ridiculous fur jackets?
Yes.
I want a guy who has a ridiculous fur jacket.
Yes.
That's what I want.
Who would play not Magnum TA?
Baron Corbin, because he has a motorcycle.
Nah, he needs to be someone that's... Like, Magnum TA was a stud.
Baron Corbin's not a stud?
No.
Oh, he's a stud.
No.
Are you kidding me? I would love to look like Baron Corbin minus the balding bit.
Bobby Roode.
That'd be good. That'd be really good. You win that one.
Yeah, that's right. I do.
Here's a James Rodriguez. What is the best and worst build up to a feud you can think of? The worst, one of the worst ever in my book was fairly recent. It was Reigns versus Lesnar 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Because it ended literally the go home image.
They're playing tug of war with the world title.
Was them playing tug of war with the world title. That was the stupidest shit. I remember laughing at that.
Yeah.
And being so offended that's what I paid money to go see was these two idiots playing tug of war with a belt. That was so stupid.
Yeah, that wasn't a good build up.
It was horrible.
Last year's main event build up, Triple H for Roman Reigns, wasn't good either.
Oh, here we go. Speak of the devil, Nathan Ragland, the Magnum TA champion.
Good question.
Vince gives you one match on the main card of WrestleMania using anyone in wrestling right now, not just the WWE. What's the matchup and how will the match go down?
Kenny Omega versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
I guess,
is NXT considered part of WWE, I guess, huh?
Yeah, yeah. He says anybody.
Oh, okay. Anybody. Yeah, Shinsuke versus Kenny Omega.
I want a Ricochet match. I want AJ Styles versus Ricochet. Ooh. Did we ever see that? Did that ever happen?
That might have happened in the
Indies. That might have happened, huh?
Could be great to see it at WrestleMania.
The biggest stage of them all. I like your idea, though. Let's see here.
World Dalton Castle Dick Bump.
Oh, champion, I love the Dick Bump.
Smapty Jones. Olaf Rendos, I know you'll be putting out a prediction show for WrestleMania. But of the 12 titles up for grabs that weekend, wow.
Jeez.
5 Raw, 4 for SmackDown, 3 to NXT. How many change hands? What is most likely and least likely to switch? Wow.
We're going to do a whole prediction show for that.
In NXT, I don't know if any titles are changing in NXT. Rude's keeping the world title.
Okay, Rude's keeping it.
And then I think Authors of Pain are going to keep the tag titles, and Asuka's going to keep the women's title.
All that sounds likely.
The world title is probably going to switch hands. Randy's probably going to win.
Well, the universal title is going to change hands.
Yeah.
The world title is going to change hands. The IC title is probably going to change hands.
The U.S. title, maybe.
I would definitely think the U.S. title.
And then the Raw tag titles, probably. Enzo and Cass probably going to win those.
Mm-hmm.
SmackDown.
I don't even think they have a match announced for.
I think, didn't they? They didn't announce.
They have a match tonight.
They didn't announce.
American Alpha and the Usos have a title match tonight.
Title match tonight? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
The Raw Women's title, I don't think that's changing hands. I think Bayley's going to retain. And then the SmackDown, that's probably going to change hands. Although, maybe not. It seems pretty clear that Asuka is not going to show up because she's going to be on the UK tour.
Could you imagine how much that would build Alexa Bliss for her to take on all comers and come out on top?
I know.
That'd be fantastic.
Oh, that'd be great.
That'd be great. That's like the smartest move they could do with that division right there.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
Larson and Steve.
Yeah, I saw that.
First time patron here. Super excited to finally be able to pay for the show that is continually the highlight of my week. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. My question is, do you think the enjoyment of WWE is hurt by reading dirt sheets? Larson and Steve was watching Lucha Underground on Netflix and with no expectations. It was super enjoyable. It really is. So do we think WWE is hurt by the dirt sheets, or our enjoyment of it is? Here's what really hurt our enjoyment. Betting odds. That really hurt our enjoyment.
Yeah, it did, because I got most of those right.
Yep.
Okay, here's the rub. I would... Yeah, I mean, the short answer is yes. It depends on what your definition of entertainment is, because we find the backstage shenanigans
fascinating.
And so that adds into our enjoyment of it, but yes, it does take away from the predictability aspect of things.
Well, here's what bummed me out about the dirt sheets. It's happened the last 2 years. Generally, whatever the initial leaked card is for WrestleMania within 2-3 months of the actual show is generally spot on. So there's not a whole lot of surprises building up to WrestleMania in terms of what the card
is. We marked out so hard when Seth Rollins won because we didn't know he was going to,
yes,
he wasn't going to cash in.
Yeah.
We didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Okay. What happened at Money in the Bank this year?
Ambrose won and then cashed in that night.
We didn't see that coming at all.
Rollins, yeah.
We didn't
Rollins
look up.
Beat Reigns,
yeah,
for the title, and
we didn't see
in
any of that coming. That was awesome.
Well, no, that's not true. We both said that was a possibility. But that wasn't based on dirt sheet. That was just our own.
I think I remember not actually thinking that was going to happen because I was like, man, that would be really cool if it did happen. And I didn't think they were going to pull the trigger on that one. Let's see here. Here we go. Oh, Rick Steiner's dog again, because this is like upvoted like by 9.
Yes.
If you could write Tinder bios for TJ Perkins, Mojo Rawley, and Baron Corbin, what would they say? Baron Corbin's would say, why should you hook up with Baron Corbin?
Because Baron Corbin.
I was this close. I need to not do this at all because I need to be like professional. But like Baron Corbin tweeted out, he said, hey, Southwest, why is it you lost my bags? It's been 5 hours since they were supposed to have been here and they're still not here. I really wanted to respond because Baron Corbin, but I did not. I have to draw the line at some point.
I feel like Mojo's bio would just write itself.
Yeah, Mojo just needs some stream of consciousness. Whatever the character limit is for Tinder bios, Mojo just needs to start typing, and then whenever he has to stop, that's when he stops.
Yes. What about TJP?
Shit, I don't know, man. I'm 32 years old and I'm still dabbing. That's actually a good question. Okay. Let me ask you this. So, you know how the WWE when they work with a wrestler on their gimmick and on their entrance, that usually stays in place. How long after the Dudley Boys started doing the "what's up" thing did they still do it? The answer is 2017.
Yeah.
Or 2016. Last time we saw them in WWE, they were still doing it. Now, granted, that was a nostalgic thing.
Yes.
But during their initial run with the WWF, they did that long after the gimmick of the commercial,
yeah, the
had fallen
commercial
out of vogue.
Yeah.
They like sticking with what they do.
Well, if the crowd pops for it.
Nobody dabs anymore.
No.
I mean, as far as I know, I've got a couple of teenage stepkids. They never did it in the first place, but they used to reference it. Like, I used to see it in Vines and shit when that was still a thing.
Yeah.
Nobody does that anymore. How much longer is this 32-year-old going to incorporate this into his entrance? Another, like, if he's around for 3 years, is he still going to be dabbing 3 years from now when nobody on the planet's doing that?
I think in the near future, the only way he's going to stop dabbing is if he turns heel.
I feel like his gimmick...
But then if he dabs when he turns heel, that could be funny.
If his gimmick really is... I mean, I don't know what to call his gimmick. I've jokingly called it millennial, mm-hmm, like stereotypical millennial. Mm-hmm. if that's his thing, like there's a, we've told him about Titus before. There's a big, there's a very, very quick turnover rate in terms of those type of
the fads,
fad yeah. type
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
So why doesn't he just keep it fresh every week, whatever people are doing on fucking Instagram or whatever?
I agree.
Why doesn't he just do that?
I agree.
Instead of doing the same thing every week. That's very antithetical to what he, to what his gimmick, I think, is supposed to be.
Yes.
But he's 32. He's not that much younger than us. Not by that much.
A few years.
I'm not saying he should be old man. Like, 32 is not old by any fucking measurement. I'm just saying, like, he's acting like he's 22. That's not a good look. Anyways. Let's see here. See, now we have to sort through.
I know, because these. We can't sort by most popular anymore.
We really need to email Patreon about that.
Squid nipples for the people.
Oh, I like that.
First time patron. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, friendos, I feel like WWE has dropped the ball on factions lately. I mean, the Triple H faction hasn't debuted officially, even though it's glaringly obvious it exists in some fashion. So the reveal is kind of nullified. And they have heavily branded Balor Club since his NXT days, and nothing really happened with that. So with that in mind, if you can make a faction with four people, mixed gender, one from each different promotion, WWE, NXT, New Japan, Ring of Honor, TNA, whatever, who would be in it, and what would be the way they debut? I agree. I mean, with especially all the talent they have on the main roster, more factions, please.
I like factions.
Me too.
Yeah, I know. They need factions.
So let's take the Triple H faction out of the equation, because we all know that's a thing.
Are they ever actually going to do that as a thing? I agree with the.
I feel like they're biding their time until after WrestleMania.
I agree with the premise too that it's killing the impact that the reveal will be.
I know, unless they have someone pretty spectacular as a fourth.
Maybe they're waiting for victories to come out of WrestleMania say, hey, we showed our dominance and now here we are officially.
Or maybe they were kind of doing that in case Seth couldn't be at Mania because they had something else in mind, but now that he's going to be there, they're not going to do that. I don't know. Will it probably be a thing where, I don't know, will they think they'll get involved in their match?
So he's asking us to do, he's asking us to do a faction across four people.
Mixed gender.
I want in my faction Will Ospreay, AJ Styles, James Ellsworth, and Asuka. I don't know, man. I don't know. There's so many wrestlers out there. I can't choose. Who do you want? I want Simon Gotch, Braun Strowman.
I want Baron Corbin.
I want Tex Ferguson.
I want Braun Strowman.
Chad Too Bad.
I want...
And Sea Creature. I just want
the Banker.
Yeah. The Banker. I want Sea Creature and the Banker. I want
Shinsuke. Are you gonna buy a Southpaw Regional Wrestling shirt?
Are they making Yeah. I don't know, maybe.
That commercial with Heath Slater is pretty funny.
Yeah, it was good. I like that. I like this. Dan Cannon. I'm personally getting a little tired of seeing that WrestleMania sign on Raw and SmackDown. He'd get along good with Jason the Cabbie.
Yeah.
If you guys could replace that sign with another sign, it could be anything.
Fun Wrestling.
What would you replace it with?
Fun Wrestling.
W Steve W.
You did that in a video, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I had Matthew Ade point to W Steve W sign, and it worked great.
Patrick Sparks. Undertaker, it looked like he knew the spear he took was going to be a rough bump. Will this be the worst Taker match in the past decade? Not in the past decade. Oh, it might be in the
what
past
decade. What was worse? In past decade, yeah. You're thinking like past century, no.
The Giant Gonzalez match will always be the worst Undertaker match.
This might be really bad, dude. This might be really bad. The crowd might bring this to like just... They might not be happy with this match.
Mr. Lipkin. Hey, friendos. Recent first-time patron. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My question is about Enzo and Cass. I know that they are likely to become tag champs at Mania, but I can't help but feel like they would have been good heels. I also think Enzo would actually be a good addition to 205 Live. Would you be on board with a heel Enzo going up against the Cruiserweights with a heel Cass cheating to help him win? It would be a different type of heel for the division. It would open up Cass to competing in singles matches with Enzo as his manager. Let me know what you think. Keep up the good work. I think with Enzo's mic skills, especially right when they got brought up it was going to be tough for them to be anything other than faces.
Yeah.
Because even his shit talking is, generally speaking, sometimes it's not as creative and funny.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, it's not to say as a heel you can't be creative and funny. You can be.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It just seems like that's the position they're in. They're faces.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really hard for them not to do that anymore. If and when they break up, yeah, one of them be heel, one of them be face. But I think it'd be difficult for them, considering how over they already are.
I wouldn't want Enzo in the crew. I'll just say, I don't want Enzo in the Cruiserweight division. He's not a terribly great wrestler.
No.
And that's kind of what I want the Cruiserweight division's focus to be. Yes. I think what it should be is really good matches. So I'm not huge on that. Paul Iannotta. After watching Lucha Underground on Netflix, I found the commentary refreshing. Matt Stryker and Vampiro are so good together.
Yeah, they are.
There's no heel face. They actually get along. My question is, why doesn't WWE just have a straight-up booth like a sports broadcast?
Noah, Stryker and Vampiro are fantastic together. Mm-hmm. Really good together.
I would prefer something much more laid back, like...
Kevin Kelly and Steve Corino in New Japan. They were really good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I would prefer. Even like what Tom Phillips and Corey Graves did with NXT, with Graves maybe toned down just a little bit.
Yeah. More conversational.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's do one more. I have a good one. I think a good one here. And then we'll go to kayfabe. Lindsay DXHBK. Greetings to both you friendos. Hoping to have a question answered for the first time.
Oh, nice.
Of all the WCW and ECW members that never had a prominent spot in the WWF, WWE, who are five which could have been big if booked right? Also, what is each of your favorite entrances of all time? Much love for you both. Thank you very much. Who could have been hot? WWE, WWF, from ECW, WCW. I'm going to say Sting. Sting never came over.
That's true.
After the buyout.
Yeah.
And he could have been, assuming they booked him right, could have been pretty popular. Because he already was pretty popular.
Well, okay, let me ask you this, though. Because I agree with you totally. The question is, of all the WCW and ECW members that never had a prominent spot in the WWF, I kind of assume he mean out of everybody who came over, but that didn't have, okay. Like, for example, Canyon didn't really have a prominent spot, although he did pretty well, I think, in WWF.
Yeah, weren't he in DDP? Or is that in Dustin WCW? They were tag champions.
I don't know, but I remember Canyon. Remember he did the Who Betted in Canyon? Was that WWF?
I think he kind of did that the whole time.
I don't know. I kind of remember Canyon just by virtue of like the fact that he was super charismatic.
Saturn. Perry Saturn.
Oh, yeah.
He was always really good in the ring.
Yeah, he was really good in the ring. Kind of a goofball, though. Because
he got brought in with the Radicals, right?
You know, was it because of injury? I think it was because of injury that Taz wasn't much
bigger. I mean,
he got brought in prior to the invasion. So he wasn't really... Yeah, he left ECW. When ECW and WCW... When WCW came in for the invasion, and then there were sort of the leftover remnants, who... Maybe got left behind a little bit. I mean, I know they brought in some of the natural born thrillers, didn't they? Like Stasiak. Well, that's what kind of what we usually say is, who is it? Was it Stasiak who had the trench coat thing when he gave the gimmick that did the gimmicks about the
I don't remember.
What was it, like the Devil's Advocate or some shit like that?
We looked that up. I don't remember if it was him or somebody else.
I always forget. You think we would remember it that. Wasn't Stasiak. No, it wasn't Stasiak. It was fuck.
Was it Jindrak?
Was it Jindrak? I forget. Anyways, one of those natural born thriller guys. I feel like there was some decent talent there.
Yeah.
But, I think Jindrak or State, whoever the fuck it was.
Yeah.
And they were going to do something. They never did anything.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, Steve, you ready for Kayfabe Corner?
Yeah, it's the greatest trivia challenge in the world.
So, 12
names. If anybody
names,
was asking.
Some are real, some are fake.
Okie doke.
I took a different approach to the trivia question today.
Did you?
I did.
Did you know? Sean O'Hare, thank you, Ryan.
Oh, there we go.
Thank you.
Yeah. Are you ready? So the theme options this week up for a vote, which you can vote at, $10 per month on the Patreon, is Bobby the Brain Heenan versus Paul Ellering, two of the greatest managers in wrestling history. Heenan won.
Heenan won. Okay, yes, interesting.
Pretty handily.
Wow.
Are you ready?
People love the weasel.
They do. Number one, Dick Shields.
Oh, true. Real.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Who is that?
I don't know. I just know the name.
Really? Look it up, because I have it as fake.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, you killed it if that's true.
But half the time I don't double check my fake name, so.
No, never mind. It was a Frank Shields. Wow, good job.
Okay, two.
Buddy Rogers Jr.
Oh, shit. Real.
Yeah.
Okay.
3, Dr. Bill Miller.
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going to say fake.
Real.
Okay.
4, Six Shooter.
Six Shooter. Real.
Fake.
Wow.
5, Kenny J.
Real.
Yeah.
Okay.
6, Billy Young.
Bill Young.
Billy Young.
Billy Young.
Billy Young.
Billy Young. Real.
Fake.
Okay.
7, Killer Kane.
Killer Kane. Spell Kane.
Like Kane in WWF.
Okay. Real.
Yes.
Okay.
Next, Jack Dillinger.
Jack Dillinger. Real.
Yes.
Okay.
What is this? 10? 9, Will Tuck.
Wilt fake.
Yeah.
Okay.
10, Guy Mitchell.
Guy Mitchell fake.
Real.
Okay.
11, Bully Warren.
Bully Warren?
Yeah.
Bully Warren?
Yeah.
Fake.
Yeah.
Okay.
12, Tony Torpedo.
I'll say real.
Yeah.
It sounds so stupid.
All right. So this is the trivia question.
Okay.
I want you to name the original members of the Heenan family. There's 4 of them. You'll get a point for every 2. So if you get all 4 of them, you get 2 points. If you get 2 of them, you get 1 point.
This is the only trivia question?
Yes.
Because it's worth 2 points. Okay. We got 7 now.
Wow. You came back pretty good.
I did.
You were struggling in the beginning.
I was. I'm struggling even to think of one. Heenan family.
Mm-hmm. The very first Heenan family.
Junkyard Dog.
No.
No. Ted DiBiase.
No.
Bobby Eaton.
No.
Stan Lane.
No. He started in AWA, actually.
Okay.
So it was Nick Bockwinkel.
Okay.
Ray Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Duncombe Sr.
Okay.
And Black Jack Lanza.
The only one I should have gotten was Bockwinkel. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, AWA, yeah. Yeah, I don't know my history very good, but I got 7.
Yeah, so I think you're up 5?
Now are we even?
Yes.
And you were up by 4?
Oh, if I was up by 4.
No, I don't know.
No, I thought it was up. I don't remember if it was up 2 or 3. I'll have to check. So you're either up 3 or 4 or 5.
I'm up 5, baby. Okay, nice. 5. Good job, me.
Good job, you. I have all sorts of multipliers for trivia. I'm happy you'd be.
All right. Stay tuned for the bonus episode. And for the rest of you, thanks for tuning in. Till next time, we'll talk to you later.
Oh, now I got to find out where that movie scene
was. Yeah, now you can do it.